Good morning. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunders roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's where fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley, I'm treading the road of care. My Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down. My Savior whispers His promise, I will never leave Thee alone. He died for me on the mountain, for me they pierced His side. For me He opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me He's waiting in glory, seated upon His throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Been thinking about this a little bit, and it's been brought to my mind a few times in the last couple of weeks, but have you ever felt alone? Consider some scenario. There, I said it, Stacy. Consider. Consider some scenarios. She's back. I got to start saying it again. If I understand right, and I'm kind of rusty on my Apollo missions, but when the Apollo missions went to the moon, if I understand it right, they had two capsules. They had one capsule that went to the moon, and the other capsule stayed in orbit. And two men went to the moon. One man stayed on the capsule, was still in orbit. That way, it was a man. They were all manned. I'm sure he was there because if there was an issue, he could go ahead and get back home. Have you thought about how lonely, if you were in that situation, that would be? You're in a capsule, completely surrounded by darkness. You look out and you can see the earth way down there below, but you're by yourself. And the only comfort you have, because you're going to hear clanging, banging, creaking, squeaking, weird noises, I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to go to space and find out, but I'm pretty sure that's what would happen. But what keeps you from being alone up there is the radio, the voice coming through every once in a while. You know, Apollo 14, are you doing okay? You know, what are your readings? And you keep talking back and forth so you don't feel that much aloneness. But what would happen if the radios went dead? What would happen if you lost all power in that command module? You would be in utter darkness. You would be alone. That would be a scary thing. I'm going to throw myself under the bus now. You work for a plumbing company, and you're afraid of tight spaces. You know, I go to a lot of places nowadays, and I see confined space warnings where you don't go in by yourself. You don't go in unless you have somebody there with you to help you if you get into trouble. But there are two crawl spaces around this building. One of them I can comfortably go into. It's the one right out front here. I can crawl through. I can almost sit up inside of it. There's one crawl space over there that you have to crawl on your belly almost, and there's barely enough room to turn over in places. I don't want to go into that one. But you know what gets me through? And what got me through at Roberts Brothers, when Gary Roberts sent me into a crawl space that was so tight, I had to crawl on my back. With my hand, I couldn't do it now with my hands above my head till I got to the work area, and then I had to force my arms up into the little space to work. I couldn't see the way out. I couldn't see nothing except the light that was lighting my that I brought in there with me. Had that light gone out, I would have been alone. But what kept me confident was the fact that there was somebody there hollering through the, you know, he wasn't going to get in there with me, but he was hollering, okay, you're doing okay, you're doing okay. Let me know if you need anything. And I knew he was there, and if I got in trouble, he could yank me out by the feet if he had to. That kept me in comfort. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 tell us, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with all such things you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I'm going to take a little liberty with those verses. I'm going to say that applies to this today. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do to me. How can we be alone if we have Christ by our side, if we have God by our side? How can we be lonely? But yet, we can be lonely. And that's a hard thing to do, to understand. The Scriptures are full of examples of people that felt lonely, and Christ wasn't that far away from them at the time, but they felt alone. They felt in trouble. But all they had to do was remember Christ was right there. Matthew chapter 8, starting, we're going to be in Matthew a little bit today, but some other chapters, books too. Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 26. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What happened? They were in over their heads, were they not? They'd been on boats before. They knew what boats would do. But this was a storm unlike anything they had seen before, evidently, where water was sloshing over the top of the boat, and they were convinced they were going to die. What happened? They got in over their heads, and they forgot that they had Christ with them. They forgot, and it gives the indication, what manner of man is this? They forgot. They thought he was a man. Okay? They had followed him for how long? They knew what he could do, but yet they forgot and they thought he was a man. What gets us in over our heads? When I go into a crawl space, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stress. I'm going to have a lot of stress involved. And you know, it's the weirdest thing. It's not the tight space so much, it's what's in that tight space with me. Okay? There was a thing put out on Facebook the other day by somebody and said, what would Doug Fiorentine do with this scenario? And there were snakes in the water, and some gal was reaching down there and grabbing the snakes out of the water. Well, the comment, I think Derek made a comment back, said he wouldn't get past the first 5 seconds of the video. I did. I got to it, but why am I watching this? I'm just testing myself. But the other thing we have is we have the anxiety. What's going to happen if that does happen? Am I going to get somehow, once I get in this crawl space, I'm going to swell up to 10 times my size, and they're going to be able to drag me out of here. That's the things I felt. It ain't going to happen, but that's the things I felt. We have stress. We have anxiety. We have fear. It all leads to fear. Is that not what got these disciples in trouble? It was fear. Their anxiety got up. Their stress came up. And they had fear involved. And they went to the one person they knew could help them. But we also have stress in our lives that can get us in over our heads. We have family. We have work. And family and work can get in our lives and can cause us to forget just where our anchor should be. And that he's standing right here beside us, ready to pull us out if we need him to. We have one who will calm the storms in our lives. The problem is, we make those storms way bigger than what they should be, and we don't think he can help us through them. Matthew chapter 14, the 22nd verse. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. Just another example of somebody getting in over their head. Was it not? Okay, they're in a boat. They're being tossed around. The man comes walking towards them. Surely it's a spirit. No, it is. It's I, and be not afraid. So Peter says, okay, I want to come out to you. So he does. Nothing wrong with that. With faith in Christ, he would have been able to do it. But he got in over his head. What happened? Fear, anxiety, stress overcame. It would have overcome me. And I'm pretty sure if I'm on a boat, and I ain't going to be on a boat very much, if I'm on a boat, I'm not going to ask. You know, somebody comes squidding by on a water jet ski or something. I'm not going to ask, can I walk out to you on a jet ski to meet with you? It ain't going to happen. But Peter was willing to climb out of the boat because he initially had confidence that he could do it because he had Christ there. But once he got out, he saw that there were elements around him that he couldn't control. Christ had control of the elements, but he didn't have control of those elements. And so he started stressing and having anxiety and having fear. And that caused him to doubt. Christ asked him, Wherefore did you doubt? Well, I doubted because I forgot who you were. I doubted because I forgot you were here. Same things I could say on a daily basis. I doubted it. So I suffered the consequences. We can go back to the start of things. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, God tells Moses, and this is right before Moses went in to deliver the children. But God gave Moses a little bit of reassurance. Exodus chapter 3, 10 through 12. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring him forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. How much confidence would I have on a daily basis if God would come down to me and say, Doug, I'm with you today? He tells me that on a daily basis. I just have to listen to it and understand it. But he gave Moses that warning, that admonition. Certainly I will be with thee. But yet we know Moses fought him the whole way until he went to see Pharaoh finally. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. Who will they think I am? Send somebody to help me. And God answered all his questions and gave him the answers he needed. Children of Israel experienced God helping them, basically extending a hand to them. You know, I'll never leave you alone. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13, starting 17th verse. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, all that was near, for God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and shall carry out my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped beneath them in the village edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them in the day by the pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They didn't have Garmin back then. They didn't have Siri back then. They had God. They don't know where they were going. God was leading them away. And God kind of knew what kind of position he was putting them in, because he said, it said there, if he took them through the way of the Philistines, they'd see the battles going on, and they'd think we'd be better off back in Egypt because there's wars. And God fought them, or they fought God the whole way because of those issues. But God did not leave them alone. He gave them a pillar of fire by night and a cloud in the daytime to get them there. I'm preparing to drive to Chicago at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I don't think there's going to be a pillar of fire guiding me, and I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a cloud. If I land with that cloud, I'm liable to end up in St. Louis, not Chicago. But I do have ways to get there. But the children of Israel had God helping them. Yeah, a cloud and a fire. And then we know he helped them cross the Red Sea. And it says in that story of the crossing of the Red Sea in a certain part that God even created a cloud that was, I'd have to look it up again here later, but it sounded to me like it was a cloud that was darkness, but yet on the children of Israel's side it was light, so they could see. But they couldn't see through the cloud to see the Philistines coming after them. And I almost got the impression it was the same way the Philistines had light, but they couldn't see through the cloud to see. So it was a dark cloud with light on both sides, but yet they couldn't see through to see the other people. Because imagine what the children of Israel would have done if they'd seen the Philistines coming after them. But we know what happened. God was with them, and God delivered them, and he destroyed the Philistines in the course of doing that. How do we assure that God will be with us as we go through our daily walks? We find that in Matthew chapter 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What better way to know what God's plans are for me than to ask him? Or to have help from God than to ask him? What did they do on the boat? They had a need. They asked for help, and they received help. So why would I think any less that if I ask for help, I will not receive that help? The problem is, I get to thinking, he's too busy. He's not got enough time for me. God has enough time for all of us. All we have to do is ask. For everyone that asks to receive, and everyone that seeks finds. So all we have to do is be willing to make that effort. The disciples said, Lord, save us, we perish. Did they perish? No, they were saved. Peter asked to come to Jesus. Then he became afraid and cried, Lord, save me. Did he drown? No, he was saved by Jesus. So we can have the same help that he needs. Because on a daily basis, I can guarantee the waves are getting over my head. The clouds are coming down on top of me. I just ain't going to make it through the day. There goes my English there. I just ain't going to make it through the day. All I need to do is ask God for help, and he'll help me make it through the day. And you know what? It's not going to be the fact maybe that he comes down and grabs my hand and pulls me out, but he gives me people around me to help me. Bruce has been working with me off and on now for about 3 months, and I've noticed a change in me personally at work because I have somebody around me now that is more of a positive influence than what I had been around. I maybe control my tongue a little bit more than I used to. I maybe don't get as excited because I'll start to get wound up about something. Bruce, I've said this before, Bruce will say, it ain't that big a deal, Dad. Well, in 21 years, I want him to look at me and say, it ain't that big a deal, Dad. Because he's going to be in the same boat I'm in 21, well, if he's there 21 years from now. I was with a guy this week. He had been to a job site 3 times over by Grinnell. And he just convinced this lady was going to throw him out the door as soon as he walked in. I said, just got to calm down. Just walk in, be nice to her. We walked in, figured out what the problem was. Of course, then he was kicking himself out the door the rest of the way because it was just a simple little wire that had come off of something, and he had been there 3 times and had noticed it, but a fresh set of eyes. That's what we need sometimes. Christ is our fresh set of eyes. He knows everything. He sees everything. We're looking through human eyes. God is looking, Christ are looking through their eyes. And they see what's ahead of us and they can help us through. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Was it the same rain that descended on both houses? Was it the same winds that blew and beat upon those houses? Was it the same flood that came? I think it was. But what was the difference in the two houses? The foundation they were built on. One was built on a rock foundation, and we know that's God and that's Christ in our lives. The other was built on my foundation, a foundation of sand. I don't need your help. I can do it on my own. Well, those winds are going to come, and I'm going to find out my foundation just isn't as strong as I think it should be. But we know that if we're on a strong foundation, we have a leg to stand on, and that leg is God. He will help us. Even after 55 years of life, I still need people around me to help me through my daily trials. I haven't learned it all. I haven't experienced it all. When I'm 90, I haven't learned it all. I haven't experienced it all. That's why God gives me people around me to help me. You know, He gives me all of you guys. He gives me my family. He gives me Steve on the other end of a text message that I can text once in a while and find out just how his day's going. And that might help me encourage him a little bit and him encourage me. And after 21 years of being a technician, I still have to rely on others. I called 5 different factories this week to get technical support. And I think nothing helps a new technician, and it wasn't Bruce, it was another newer technician that hadn't been here very long, to see that, yes, even I have to call and get help. I have to call the tech support line and find out if I'm doing something right. That will help them, just as I go to God for help on a daily basis. And that should help you guys to see that I go to God for help on a daily basis. I'm not out there by myself. I was sitting there thinking just a few minutes before I got up here. Usually when I go to these classes, I'm going with one or two other guys from Goodwin Tucker. I'm going by myself this time. I'll be the only Goodwin Tucker tech at this class. There'll be probably 9 or 10 other guys from other companies. I'm going to feel alone while I'm there for a little bit, because I'm not going to know any of these people, as you say from Adam, I'm not going to know any of these people that are in that class. And until I've been there a day or two and I understand who they are and what they are and how they are, I'm not going to feel comfortable being around them possibly. And I jokingly tell the boss, I said, that's why I try to take Lisa as much as I can, because I'm probably the boringest person to be at a class. Because I'm going to go back to the room and I'm going to sit and I'm going to read books, or I'm going to read the paper, I'm going to watch TV while the other guys are out having fun. So if you're wanting to have a good time, don't go to class with Doug, because it's going to be a pretty boring class after hours. But I will be alone. But what will get me through is I'll rely on God to get me through. I can talk to God and He can give me strength. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation: the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I love my family. I love my kids. But I've got a trophy case at home full of NASCAR memorabilia. I don't love them enough to give it to them yet. I'm not going to say, Bruce, help yourself. You know, I let Blake hold them sometimes in my hand. There's IndyCar stuff. I let Isaac and Allison hold them sometimes. But I'm not comfortable enough yet to say, here, guys, have at them. But yet God was willing enough to send Jesus to this earth for lowly Doug in my condition so that I would not be condemned, but I would have a chance of life eternal. No matter how ugly Doug gets, God sent his son to this earth. And I've partaken of that sacrifice. I've accepted him, but yet I still need his loving hand to come down every once in a while and grab me and try to pull me back. Because I do suffer from this thing called being a human. So he sent us, all we need to do is remember to be in the light. Okay, because God is in the light. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 through 14. Second Peter 3, 9 through 14. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to the new his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but thankfully he's long-suffering. Because put up with Doug, you'd have to be long-suffering. Because Doug's a hard person to get along with sometimes. Doug's kind of wishy-washy sometimes. But it's a good thing he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've already come to repentance. But yet, he still needs to be long-suffering towards me. Because I am Doug, and I am human, and I forget. I get in over my head sometimes. But you know what? There's a warning in that. And we've heard a lot during the election, you know, taking the nuclear option to get their nominations passed and all this stuff. Well, I got to thinking this morning, God actually holds the nuclear code to this world. He is the one that will push the button eventually, and this world will cease to exist. I'm not worried about Iran. I'm not worried about Iraq. I'm not worried about Russia. I should be worried about God, because he holds the ultimate nuclear key to this world, and he will push the button someday. But God, thank God he's long-suffering and hasn't done it yet. And there's examples of why God doesn't. I mean, I don't think God wants to destroy everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. You know, when he flooded the earth, had he not saved 8 souls in the flood? He didn't completely wipe. He could have wiped out the whole thing at that point in time, said, forget it, ain't worth it. But he saved 8 souls. But you know what? You don't want to be on the outside looking in on that day of judgment. Because I don't know, but how many people were outside that ark, beating on the ark, trying to get in the day of the flood? Well, the day of the nuclear meltdown, I don't want to be on the right side of that nuclear meltdown. I don't want to be on the wrong side. Because I've been burnt before. I've got burn marks, and I've never been burnt with fervent heat enough that I didn't have my arm left when I got done. But I'm thinking this is so much heat that you won't even see ashes when it's done. It'll just be gone. But God holds the ultimate key to that. But you know what? He said he would never leave us alone. He promised never to leave us alone. The problem is we leave him alone. We forget who he is, and we walk away sometimes, and we forget, and we start getting over our head. Then we have to come back to him. And the nice thing about it is he allows us that opportunity. If we have not accepted Christ in the first place and repented of our sins and taken advantage of his son's sacrifice and death on the cross to make me a perfect whole man again, we're always given that opportunity. The water's ready. All we have to do is have you ask. Or if you have, for some reason, fallen away, we're always given the opportunity at the end of each service or any time the church is together to come forward and make amends for those wrongs and be put back right in the sight of God as we stand and sing the closing song.